I'm not that good at math. Good to see you all here again. So we're going through a series right now called The Other Ones, a series looking at embracing the supporting role in God's great story. And I'm going to start us off with a story. I'm going to jump right in with a story. And this story is about a young man versus an entire army. So we open the scene on an army. You might not want to call it an army. They had no weapons. It's just a bunch of dudes hanging out in the desert. That's all it was. They had zero weapons, but they were at war. They needed to fight someone. And so God said, I need you to go to protect. I need you to go and fight this other army. And so naturally, the army without any weapons decided, I don't want to do that. That sounds scary. I don't want to just go with my fists. One young man, he decided, you know what? If God said it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to give it a shot. So he grabs his buddy, his armor bearer, which is ironic because the armor bearer had literally no job. They had one sword, so it's like a caddy without any golf clubs. Let's go and fight. And so they walk over to the other army in the middle of the night, which is a bad time to fight. And it's at the bottom of a hill. And so if anyone's seen Star Wars, you know it's a bad idea to attack from the bottom of the hill, right? I have the high ground situation. So they're looking up at the other army, and there's just two of them. And so the other army is like, what are you doing here? Why are you here? What's your plan? And they're like, well, we're here to fight you. And the young man turns to his armor bearer and says, if they call us up, we're doing it. Like, if they call us up to fight, we're going to do this. And the armor bearer is like, cool. I guess I'll go with you. I don't really have a choice. But they did. They were like, come on up and fight us. So this young man walks up the hill, and it says he walks. He doesn't sprint. This wasn't football practice. He walks up the hill. And in one move of his sword, kills 14 of the army. And the army just panics. That's not normal. You know, this is not where 14 people should be. So apparently it was some sort of Jedi-esque move. And the army just freaked out. They went, they lost their minds, and they ran. And so with one sword, this young man won the victory that they were supposed to have, and the army ran away. This young man is not Saul. This young man is not David. This young man is not a great general. His name is Jonathan. I don't know if you've ever heard this story, but his name is Jonathan. And that's who we're going to look at this morning. It's Jonathan. And Jonathan was the son of Saul. So Saul was the king. Saul was the king at this time. And if you're the son of the king, you think you are going to be the king someday. That's what you think. I'm going to be the king someday. And Saul was the first king, and so he was like, this thing is mine. But what we're going to learn from Jonathan's story is that Jonathan goes from heir to another one. He goes from being the guy who defeated an entire army to being a bonus Jonas in the story of David. And actually, this is what I love about this week is that he does a pretty good job. Last week, we looked at Aaron. Aaron was impatient. He wanted credit so bad. He didn't understand what God had given him was so valuable, but Jonathan actually gets it right. It's really fun to read stories where people get it right. We don't always want cautionary tales from sermons, right? But this is really good. We're going to learn what it looks like to embrace and to champion others. That's what we're going to look at this morning, is how do I go from not just being okay with having a supporting role, but really putting effort into supporting others and championing others. And that's what David does. And so what we're going to do again this morning is we're going to go through chapters. Chapter one was young man versus the entire army. He conquered it, and they won. And then we'll go into four or five more chapters before we get to both the friendship of Jonathan and the friendship of Jesus and what it looks like to be championed by Jesus. So let me pray, and then we'll keep going. God, thank you for our time together. Thanks for the way that you work and the way that you support us and the way that you champion us, and would that encourage us to champion others this morning? In your name, amen. So, Jonathan had just won this mighty battle, okay? So he wins this battle, and his dad, so Saul's kind of a bummer. If you read about Saul in the Bible, he's a bummer. He gets really, really jealous, and he says a bunch of crazy stuff all the time. So Saul finds out that Jonathan won this battle, or that the other army is running. And so Saul says, okay, now let's send everybody, without swords, but let's send everybody after the Philistines. And I don't want, if anyone stops fighting, If anyone stops fighting even to eat food, I'll kill them. Well, Jonathan was miles ahead, and guess what Jonathan does? He stops to eat food. And by the way, that's a terrible strategy. Like, if you were doing physical activity like chasing someone for miles and also battling them without swords, you should allow people to have a snack. Like, it's okay to have some Gatorade if you're doing that. But he says this crazy rash thing, and so then he finds out, it's my son, and he tries to retract it. And Jonathan is the one who's like, actually, you shouldn't retract it. You should stick to your word. You should kill me. And the people were like, that's dumb. Don't kill Jonathan. And the people, so chapter 2 is the people choose Jonathan. They say, don't kill him. We love Jonathan. Jonathan's the best. He's our champion. He won the battle. Everybody knows it. And so if you're Jonathan at this moment, not only did you just do what God asked you to do, you have now been chosen not just by the rights of being the son of the king, but you have now everyone's approval. Everyone loves you. So you're probably thinking, the kingship is mine. I get to be the king. This is awesome because I did what was right. So that's just 1 Samuel 14, 29 to 58. Again, I'm summarizing a lot. Chapter 3. So after this battle, Saul had a rough couple of months, and God decides, you know what? I've had enough of Saul. And dad got fired. That's chapter 3. He got fired. 1 Samuel 15 is God saying, enough of Saul. Enough. He keeps making the wrong decision. He waits when he should go. He goes when he should wait. He doesn't listen, and he doesn't listen to the people, and I don't think he has the people's interests at heart. So he gets fired. Now, again, imagine if you're Jonathan and you hear that, oh, dad's fired. It doesn't probably occur to your mind that you are not going to be the king. It's just, my dad got fired, so I am the next in line. He's probably thinking it's my time. This is my time to shine. I finally got the promotion. I'm finally going to be the king. But then something funny happens. 1 Samuel 16. God decides he's going to pick someone else. That was unheard of. You don't like set up a king, your first king, and then be like, actually, who I want to be a king is I want this little shepherd boy to be a king. You've never heard of him. His name's David. He plays the harp, but he also can like kill bears. That's a pretty, you know, like imagine that Tinder profile. Like that's, everyone would, yeah, doesn't matter. So that wasn't in my notes. Yeah, he's a great guy, but you're not thinking of why not me? Why not me? Why someone else? Is there something wrong with me? What does David have that I don't have? I just won the battle, right? I just won the battle by myself. And you could say that. Not a lot of times can you say, I won the battle by myself, right? Like sometimes Michael Jordan could be like, I won that game by myself. Sometimes. But this was a battle, and I was like, I got it. Why would you pick someone else for this? Chapter 5, 1 Samuel 17, chapter 5 of our story. The Philistines come back, and they bring this really, really big dude with them named Goliath. And he's really big, like scary big, okay? And if you're Jonathan, you're thinking, this big dude, he challenges Israel, and he says, if you bring forward one champion, if you're Jonathan, who do you think is that guy? It's you. It should be you, but you're a little scared. And so is everyone else. And all of a sudden, this little shepherd boy shows up. This little shepherd boy shows up, and he's so small, and this is, I do have a, like, obviously I love David for that. He's so small, he doesn't fit in any armor. Like, it's just like the helmet just like hits the breastplate and he just kind of like shuffles around. So like, no, we're not going to do that. We're not going to let him fight this fight. He grabs a couple of stones. You guys know this story. This is a story that everyone's heard. He grabs a couple of stones and he only needed one. And he flung it and it hit the big dude between the eyes and the big dude was no more. With one slingshot, David now had defeated an entire army. Competition might be brewing in you. All of a sudden you're like, okay, now I need to worry about this guy. right? I defeated an army with a sword. He did it with a rock. I have my life is full of competition. I shared this that part of the reason why I'm doing this series is that I've been second a lot in my life. And a lot of that has been in basketball. So don't feel too bad. It's just basketball. But so I told the story last week of the older point guard in front of me who put me in a 20-point hole every time that I started got on the court. My junior year, it was my time to shine. He graduated. Maybe we could start with a lead at the game. That's how prideful I was. It was my time to shine. And so the season started, and I was playing pretty well. I was actually doing pretty well. I had a couple of good guys on my team. But the voting came out in the middle. And this is so funny because, like, my school, we had, like, 30 people in my class. I played in conferences. Like, but they had these, like, MVP updates throughout the year like we were the NBA. Like, why? So the all-conference team of, you know, five conferences came out, and I was second team. And we were playing that team the next game, that point guard. And so I'm thinking, this is my time. I'm going to defeat this. Like, I'm going to pwn this guy. He's not going to hit him. On my own team, I had my own little premises happening. My best friend, Wyatt Wurgis. We loved each other, but it's kind of that thing where you're also really competitive and slightly jealous of each other. He was first team. And so I was like, this guy, he doesn't need more attention, right? This game is going to be about me. We start the game. And I don't know what got into this team, and it made me feel pretty good, but they left Wyatt open the entire game from the beginning. And so I'm having this internal struggle of, like, I don't want to pass him the ball, but I'd be really bad at my job if I don't. And I really want to make this guy look silly, but I really probably should give Wyatt the ball. And what made matter worse, he didn't miss a sin. He went, I think, 10 for 10. That, like, he missed no shots. And so I'm like, dude, you're really laying it in here. Like, I need this victory. I've struggled with this all the time. Competition, both from out and within. Right? So Jonathan not only had a competition with another army, but now he's got competition within his own group. How does Jonathan handle this? How does he move forward with this? So chapter 6, and this is amazing. This is amazing that Jonathan reacted this way. So David, you know, he killed Goliath, and he said, I killed him. And that's basically how this chapter ends. So it says, as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, David didn't say much. He didn't have a monologue. He didn't have a big speech. But as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house, David. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And this was the covenant. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. So Jonathan, facing his competitor, who he at this time actually probably would have had, in most people's eyes, the legal right to kill. He doesn't belong on the throne. I could kill him and get away with it, probably. But he sees it, he hears David, and he hears the bravery, and what does he do? He does two things. He strips himself of his own robe and his armor. Now, that might sound just like he like gave him a coat, you know? But that robe meant a lot in that time. That was a big deal to give someone a robe, because that robe was the royal mark of the family. I think we shared this story in the parables sermon series, but in the story of the prodigal son, when the father sees the son and the son returns home, the son who had rebelled, what does the father do first? Is that he strips of his own robe and gives it to the son as a mark of, you are now a part of my family. You are now a part of my family. This is what Jonathan does with his rival. Jonathan right now is anointing David king. You get it, man. I'm giving you the robe. It doesn't belong to me anymore. It's yours. And then he gives him his armor. He gives him his sword and his bow and his belt, the things that David should have kept and were signs of his strength. He gave it away to David. Our big lesson here this morning is that championing others is so freeing. Friends, that basketball game, one of many stories where I could tell you, at the end of the game, we won by 30, and that felt so much better. And there's been a lot of other instances in my life where I've played second fiddle to someone, and it feels so good when you embrace that and then really champion and see others succeed. And there's been times where I haven't, for sure. There are other games that year. There are other games where I did not do that. There's other moments where I've tried to steal focus. There was a group that I was on when I was in college learning how to give sermons. And the four of us, we would meet on 2 days before we would give the sermon, and whoever's giving it would give it, and the four of us would critique each other. And some of it was encouraging, but, you know, we're 20-year-old men, so some of it was passive-aggressively slanting the encouragement towards criticism, right? But man, when I saw my buddies do well in those sermons, I felt really good. And when they didn't succeed, that really hurt. It is so freeing championing others. That's what David didn't just become his friend, he became his champion. He became David's biggest cheerleader. And that was true for David's whole life. Saul at one point lost his mind hearing David play the harp. Like apparently something happened in him that was spiritual and or it was just a song he hated. And he threw a spear at David and then chased him out, and Jonathan went with him. Championing others is so freeing, but how is that possible? Because the fact is, friends, we hear this, and I would love to always be someone's champion, but our ego and our sin still exists. How does this happen? How do we see someone at work through the lens of Jonathan? How do we actually go from not just being okay, but like helping them, encouraging them, supporting them? How is this possible? Jesus. He's always the answer. You guys know that. But Jesus is really the answer here as to how we can embrace championing others is that Jesus champions us. So let's go back to this idea of the robe and the armor. I found that interesting because Jesus gives us his robe. So Galatians 4:4-7 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. And because you are sons and daughters, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." So one of the amazing things about this faith and entering into a relationship with Jesus is that Jesus doesn't restore you to neutrality with God. You're not just neutral. But this adoption, it doesn't just mean an adoption of love and care. You actually become an heir. An heir means you have the rights of the kingdom. The scripture says we're seated at the same place with Jesus. That almost feels wrong to say. It's not self-worship, but it's just what Jesus has done. He's not just restored you to neutrality, he's given you honor. He put the robe on you. He put Abba's robe on you and says, you are now a part of the family. What's so interesting about Jonathan's role as a friend is that he became a family member too. This was a family ordeal. Jesus puts the robe on us and we can revel and enjoy and experience having the robe. Jesus is our champion. Jesus is our champion. Isn't that amazing? Secondly, armor. And I won't read the whole list, but in Ephesians 6, it talks about the armor of God. And we hear all these, there's the helmet of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit. And you hear all these things, and I think we think that all these things are things we put on to prove that we're mighty warriors. But let's start at the beginning. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. It's God's armor. He's the one who gives it to you. I used to read the armor story and think that, okay, like I have to perform well with the sword and it's up to me to do a whole lot with the sword, but the fact is that it's God's armor and he uses it in us. And he gives it to us. Each piece of armor when you go through is actually powered by Christ directly. Here's where I will go through it. The helmet of salvation. Your head is protected by knowing Jesus died for you. That's what protects your mind. The breastplate of righteousness. It's not your righteousness, it's Jesus's. He gives you his righteousness so that when God looks at you, he no longer sees you by your sin, he sees you by Jesus' perfect record. The belt of truth, the truth of the gospel, the truth that Jesus is and always will be God because he beat death. The feet ready with the gospel of peace. It's the gospel of peace. The shield of faith. Faith not in your own self, but faith in God. The sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job was to remind you and everyone else that Jesus is Lord. Jesus champions us. He gives us his robe, and then he actually gives us his armor. Sometimes I treat God like he saved me when at a certain age, and then he peaced out from my life, and I'll limp into heaven eventually and he'll be like, hey, what's been going on since I saved you? Since you prayed that prayer, are you doing okay? You don't look okay. You look like you're a little beaten up, but I'm glad you're in heaven. That's not what Jesus does. He honors us and he armors us. He champions us. He is our champion, friends. So when I think about that person, it begins to change that rival. You begin to change your view of, man, I hope that they feel the champion of Jesus. I hope they understand how much Jesus honors and loves them. I want what's best for them because I already have the God of the universe on my side. He's on my side. He's my champion. He is for us, not against us. Embracing and experiencing the friendship of Jesus enables you to champion others. So friends, as you think about this week, I don't know if you, maybe you're like my wife. She doesn't have any rivals. She's like a very peaceful mediator kind of person. But maybe there's someone in your life that you're really struggling to support and to champion and to encourage. And so what I would just say to you is before you go there, what if this week you spent time in the scriptures, you think Psalm 18, the passage we read earlier, is an amazing passage to go to, and really begin to believe Jesus is on my side. I don't need, like we talked about last week, I don't need credit. I have Jesus. I have the best relationship in the world. And I have everything I need. I have the robe. I have the armor. I have everything I need. And then you can begin to embrace championing others like Jonathan did. To give away your robe and give away your armor. So I'm going to pray to close us this morning that we won't do another song. But I just encourage you to meditate on this, and then we'll. And lunch. It's going to be on the podcast. Everyone's going to hear me just shout lunch. Lunch. We're going to lunch after this. This is really exciting. So after I pray, you'll dismiss. But some of us will go to Noodlecraft and have some delicious noodles together. So let me pray. God, thank you so much for who you are and the way that you embrace us and the way that you encourage and support us. And so, Jesus, would you help us to embrace that and embrace the role of championing others, that those that might be rivals at work or in our family or wherever it may be, that we wouldn't see them through the eyes of, the way you don't see us, that through the eyes of performance and rather the eyes of grace and mercy. Your mercy is more, and your mercy is more for us and for others. And so would you help us to move into that this week, God. Thank you so much for who you are. We love you. In your name, amen. Lunch.